May it please the Court, for the record, my name is John Thrasher. I represent John Logan, the appellant in this case. I would ask the Court to reverse the decision by the United States District Court for the Southern District of Indiana dismissing our complaint on a motion under 12b-6 for failure to state a claim. Both the trial court and in its reply brief, the defendants relied on Iqbal versus Ashcroft to say that our complaint was not adequate, that we didn't plead enough specific facts. But
well, what facts support Logan's allegation that defendants fraudulently concealed their alleged wrongdoing?
There is no evidence except the complaint, Your Honor.
Right.
And under 12b-6, every well-pleaded factual allegation is taken as true. I'm looking at document 40, which was our amended complaint, paragraph 12. In addition, because they conspired against him, the government employee defendants actively concealed their involvement from plaintiff until after.
That's when my question is, what facts support that? That's the problem. I understand that's his supposition, that's his conclusion, that's his inference. But what facts support, you know, a conspiracy and that they concealed? Other than what you have, you know, other than that sort of conclusory language in the complaint.
I don't accept that that's conclusory.
All right. So you're just relying on there's nothing more other than what's in the complaint.
There couldn't be anything more than what was in the complaint. The complaint is in front of you because it's part of appendix in our first brief.
But normally you would have some facts that would support the allegation. You know, you'd have his allegation, well, and then so-and-so said this or so-and-so talked about this or, you know, some evidence that would support it. Well, did you get any new facts did Logan learn after receiving Barber's answer?
Barber's answer was attached as a supporting document to the complaint.
And were there any new facts that Logan learned after getting the answer?
Well, if I may, to answer your first question, Rodney Barber, on August 15, 2007, I'm answering a complaint, cause number, etc. Complaint should be considered a false complaint. I, Rodney Barber, am the sole proprietor of Barber Contracting, etc. and so forth. All work done in Mr. Logan's property was as directed by the Delaware County Health Department. Health officers Joshua Williams and Christine Dealey Stinson were the officers directing me. This is the first time that Mr. Logan knew that his defendant in the state court, Mr. Barber, was acting under orders, under direction. Dr. Wilkins, acting as the health commissioner for Delaware County in Indiana, obtained an order to remove and demolish certain mobile homes on Mr. Logan's mobile home park as uninhabitable. They hired Mr. Barber, who came in and didn't just demolish the homes, he demolished the park. This is all in the complaint. They cut utility lines in such a way that they couldn't be shut off or restored.
And they did a 14th one that wasn't in it. Right.
More than was authorized by the court order. We're not complaining about the 13 that were demolished. We're complaining about everything else.
Right.
Were these 13 condemned because of the health for some reason?
Short answer is yes.
About those. There must have been something wrong.
Short answer is yes. Those were condemned. And one of the things that we're complaining about is that he had a 10-day window to appeal that demolition order, and either nobody told him about it or they told him when they should have known he couldn't act on it. But yes, the 13 that were ordered demolished were proved, apparently. I mean, we're not trying to go behind the demolition order. There was a legal proceeding in Delaware County where Dr. Wilkins was given the opportunity to prove that those were not merely uninhabitable but irreparable. And so the court issued an order demolishing them.
What about the complaint about not getting good tenants and all that? There must have been others besides the 14th that shouldn't have been. There must have been others in the park. Right?
There were four left after the 13 were destroyed.
14.
Their electrical service, their water service, and their sewer service were all disrupted. And there was a rumor that the county was trying to shut him down, so nobody wanted to move in.
Well, all that can be shut off remotely, right?
I'm sorry, say again?
Electric and sewer and all that, I assume their connections would be closed. Is that what they did?
Weren't closed. They were destroyed.
Well, what do they do? Just leak? You can't destroy electric. Sometimes get shocked.
They removed the line from the meter box to the utility line.
Okay.
They dug down several inches to cut the water lines and sewer lines.
There's a remote to turn off. You don't just cut the line and let it run.
That's why we had a complaint about what Mr. Barber did.
All right. Well, it sounds like a mess. Well, you got a statute of limitations issue here.
Well, but the gravamen of the complaint that we filed was the conspiracy, not just the physical damage. And under both Indiana statute law and the federal concealment doctrine, if you don't know you have a claim, your cause of action doesn't accrue until you find out you have a claim. He found out that he had a claim against these defendants on August 15th of 2007, I think. And he filed within 2 years of that. Yeah, August 15th of 2007.
He discovered this conspiracy.
He found enough to lead him to investigate and discovered the conspiracy.
Because obviously the, what do you call them, trailers or mobile homes, whatever, they're destroyed.
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
You know when that happened.
The gravamen of the complaint is not the physical damage there. He sued Mr. Barber in state court for that. That's what Mr. Barber was answering. Mr. Logan didn't understand that the county officials were involved until Mr. Barber filed his answer. And it's the conspiracy among the county officials and other unnamed, unidentified individuals that is the grounds for his federal complaint under 42 United States Code, Section 1983.
So he just thinks Barber is acting on his own.
That's what he sued him for in state court. I wasn't involved then.
You're in your rebuttal time. Do you want to save some time or finish?
Well, I had more prepared, but I was trying to answer your questions.
That's fine. I mean, you can. I'm just letting you know. I know you had reserved a few minutes for rebuttal.
There are distinguishing features between the Iqbal case and our case. In Iqbal, they had to infer a cause of action under the First and the Fifth Amendment. We've got an express right of action under 1983. And Gomez v. Toledo says that under 1983, the only thing we need to plead to avoid a 12b6 motion is that his rights, guaranteed rights, were violated, and they were violated under state law, under the color of state law. Iqbal is saying nothing more than you can't just put those two in there and survive a 12b6 motion. You can't plead legal conclusions. We didn't. There's a lot more in there than that. The trial court should not have ignored our argument on the concealment doctrine. The defendants aren't entitled to absolute immunity until they prove they are, and there's been no evidence. And the res judicata argument doesn't work because the issues we raise didn't occur until after the judgments. The facts didn't exist until after the judgments. So, yeah, all of that is in my brief, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Stewart.
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Ian Stewart. I'm here for the government defendants. Briefly, I want to just touch on an issue of waiver. There were some other allegations about enforcing foreclosure in December of 2007 against Defendant Sheridan and Defendant Robbins. That was never raised on appeal, even though that was argued and addressed by Judge Hamilton's original opinion of dismissal and then incorporated by Judge Lawrence's opinion of dismissal of the amended case. So that would now be waived. Same thing with the new allegation against Phil Taylor that was raised in the amended complaint that he did not inspect the property. That was never raised on appeal, and that would also be waived. Now, turning to the main issue of this case, which is the issue of the statute of limitations and plaintiff's allegations of fraudulent concealment. Your Honor, you addressed the issue perfectly. Even though they make the conclusory allegations that because they conspired against him, they concealed, there's no factual allegations supporting that conclusion at all, and that's in paragraph 12. They make no factual allegations of what this conspiracy is, and they make no factual allegations of what was concealed. And under Iqbal, and actually under the Bell Atlantic case, which came out in 2007, you need those factual allegations to actually plead a claim. I know plaintiff has stated in his reply or response brief that he didn't know about Iqbal because Iqbal came out in December 2009. Well, that's not correct. Iqbal came out in May of 2009, which is how I was able to raise it in my August motion to dismiss in 2009. But he still needed to plead these factual allegations of concealment, and there isn't any. And there's no factual allegations of a conspiracy. And Bell Atlantic, actually, that was the issue, was if you can't just say there's a conspiracy, you can't just make that bare assertion. You actually have to lay out the factual allegations stating why there's a conspiracy or how there's a conspiracy. And there isn't any. And as to whether the court addressed the issue of fraudulent concealment, it did. I know the plaintiff wants to act like Judge Lawrence's second order on the motion to dismiss was in a vacuum, but it was not. Judge Lawrence, in his second opinion, which came down in January 28th, 2010, cites to Judge Hamilton's earlier opinion, saying, Judge Hamilton raised a number of issues. Your amended complaint did nothing to cure those. Judge Hamilton excluded a number of yours on statute of limitations, and you did nothing to cure that. And in fact, in Judge Hamilton's earlier decision from July of 2009, he stated, and rightfully so, a concealment argument is impossible for Logan to make here because Logan was no doubt aware that mobile homes on his property were demolished. We're not talking about a little thief in the night who comes and takes a little item. These were 14 mobile homes that were demolished. That was not concealed. And in fact, Logan, in his original complaint and in his amended complaint, pleads that immediately after the demolition, he filed a police report with the Delaware County Sheriff. So he obviously knew about the demolition. Moreover, in his amended complaint, he incorporates the October 27, 2006 court order, which states that John Logan was at the hearing where the court affirmed that the demolition was going to take place. Not only was he there, but so was Christine DeLay Stinson on behalf of Donna Wilkins and the Delaware County Health Department. That's incorporated in his complaint, that he who knew who these people were, he knew who was demolishing his property. He was at the hearing there. He then got the order because he's on the distribution list. So this concealment argument, which he has no factual assertions to support, is actually defeated by the factual assertions which he does make, which is that he's there, he knows who's doing it, and he knew what happened. So the statute of limitations ran. The demolition, which occurred in late 2006, is beyond the two-year statute. His fraudulent concealment argument simply has no factual assertions to support it. In fact, factual assertions go against it.
Well, is that an effort just to – is there a different statute of limitations? Or is there a discovery issue that they're trying to add on here? Obviously, the statute of limitations and all this destruction and everything is long gone.
Right.
They apparently are alleging recent discovery of a conspiracy and trying to attach to that to get mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. this point? You don't know.
Well, what the conspiracy is?
Well,
I have no idea what the conspiracy is because there's no factual assertions.
Obviously, the foreclosure action itself is following a judicial order. But I'm looking at what at least are they trying to say. It's the same statute of limitation, isn't it?
It would be the 2 year. I mean,
there's belated discovery or something.
Well, yeah, because he's basically saying he didn't know till Barber answered that there was a conspiracy. So he's trying to plead the conspiracy to get out of the statute of limitations problem.
Right.
Correct? That's what he's arguing. Right.
And is there a separate statute of limitations for the conspiracy? No. It's the damage that he knew happened is the demolition of his property. That's his claim. I have no idea what the conspiracy is, and he makes no factual assertions what it would be. And as far as who was involved, he knew. We think the statute of limitations just bars everything to the extent it doesn't. There is the res judicata, the fact. And there is a small point. Under Indiana law, actually, what is only needed is the health department to issue its own order, and that's under Indiana Code Section 16-41-20-9. And what this October 27, 2006 court order, basically what happened was that was done in August. The health department issued its own condemnation order. Under Indiana law, Mr. Logan then had 10 days to appeal it. Delaware County kind of takes a belt and suspender approach where after that 10 days happened with no appeal by Mr. Logan, Delaware County itself files the court action just to, like, make it very clear that Mr. Logan didn't do anything. And that's what this court order said, was basically, yes, there were these health department orders. That's all that's needed. He had 10 days to review that. There was no judicial review. Therefore, they're final. You can go ahead with your demolition, which you could have gone ahead with anyway, but you took this belt and suspender approach. So to the extent he's trying to attack, the demolition orders, this court order says you can't do that. You had your chance. You had your time. You didn't do that, and now you're foreclosed, which then also then goes into our quasi-judicial immunity, that we had this valid court order saying, go ahead, demolish the property. That's what they did, and therefore they're clothed with the presumption or clothed with the immunity that goes with the quasi-judicial immunity. Mm-hmm. And if you have any other questions?
No other questions. Thank you, counsel. 1 minute.
Thank you, Your Honor. I believe that the issues that my esteemed opponent says we waived weren't relevant in this appeal because we appealed very narrowly on the concealment issue. The court below never even considered it. Because apparently, like him, the court was confusing the physical damage with the conspiracy. The conspiracy is the offense. And it is pleaded in paragraph 15 of the complaint, document 40. The facts pleaded in our amended complaint, undisputed for these purposes, raise a factual issue of when the cause of action accrued. And this is 3411.5.1, which basically says that if anybody's guilty of an offense and hides that fact, his guilt, from the injured party, then the injured party has a cause of action against that person when he discovers the truth. It isn't that the injured person, the fact of the injury isn't being held. It's the liability that's being withheld. That's what extends the statute of limitations. And no, it isn't a different statute. It's just the cause of action doesn't accrue until Mr. Logan finds out who he can sue.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Case will be taken under advisement.